You are the man now, dog. 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 You are the man now, dog.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to You're the Man Now, Dog, the improvised and conversation podcast with me, Dan Lippert.
And me, Ryan Rosenberg.
You are hearing this on Wednesday, June 10th, or sometime after that, but never before, unless you're editing it. And we're coming at you after a little hiatus. Hello, everybody.
Hello, hello.
How are you all doing?
Welcome back to You're the Man Now, Dog. We missed you guys. Thanks for sticking with us. We took last week off, of course, because of all the marches and civil unrest that we support in the country, and donated your guys' last month's patronage to that. And it's been a while, so we figure we got to get back to the pod a little bit and see what it looks like in these current times.
That's right. We felt that in the middle of like a wave of a movement and our support for Black Lives Matter ended at the time until very, nothing has changed, but at the time, no movement made on George Floyd or anything. It's still none for Breonna Taylor. But anyway, we felt that it was weird to put out just us two chatting and seeing what was up, and our brains felt scrambled, and we were just trying to kind of read and involve ourselves in the way we could. And not put out improv comedy, which I've used the word before, but just felt so frivolous and would not have been of service to really anybody. So we're sorry. We know that part of your patronage isn't expecting improv shows. We took a week off of that. But thanks for sticking with us. And we hope you understand and are supporting the causes in whatever way you can.
Yeah, hopefully you got to take some time and reflect by not having anything to listen to and got involved and went to blacklivesmatter.com and see what everything's going on over there. It's a pretty big movement if you haven't noticed. So get involved.
Yeah, if you haven't noticed, get out from under your comfortable little rock and check it out. And we just want to, again, if you're able to, we ended up donating our patronage to Beam, the Black Emotional and Mental Health Collective, the LA Food Bank, and a series of bail funds through Act Blue. We think if you go to our socials, we know you'll find links to that there. And we think it's great to find your own causes that you're passionate about that you want to support. It's very easy to find them right now. Just Google and do the research.
That's right. Big part of this that I'm learning is that it's not okay to just listen and that's it. You got to actually get involved and do some of the work yourself. So hopefully we've laid out some areas that you can easily jump onto, but also hopefully we've set the example that you can do that for yourself. You know, we're finding information the same way everyone else is, from the internet and listening and tuning into Black voices and what they're saying. So we would encourage you all to do the same. But thanks for sticking with us. And we also matched last month's donations. So everything that you guys gave us as patronage, Dan and I matched that and, you know, donated like double the month's fee. So thank you all for your donations and your patronage. We really appreciate it. And yeah, this feels hard to talk about.
Yeah. Well, where are we? Where have we been the past week? I have been a physical and emotional wreck, I would say. My anxiety continues to manifest itself in my body, which creates more anxiety about what's wrong with my body because it's constantly brand new pain that's never existed before that if you type it into Google, you will be terrified.
So even that last little sentence you were doing, you were in the middle of what looked like a long burp or acid reflux or something.
Yes. Well, this is, I have been off of coffee for like a month and a half just to try to like reset my body. This is my first like home brewed coffee in a while, and it's definitely affecting my body.
It is strong. Those
little burpees. Yeah.
I've also been feeling the same way, Dan, just overwhelmed and emotional and hard and unhealthy because of it. Like the stress has definitely been making me feel nervous and also nervous that I have coronavirus, which is on top of everything. So just a lot of anxiety going around.
I was talking to our friend Jacob Womack, and we were talking a little bit about how the way, if you're on Twitter or reading the news or wherever, Reddit, the way it works is you're constantly taking in like aggressive imagery, angry imagery, scary imagery. And there's, you never scroll through a post that's like, hey, here are some ways I'm taking care of myself right now. Not to ignore all the stuff that's going on, but it's just inhuman to be, to read, about aggression and anger for 12 hours a day. And so I thought one thing you and I could do is talk about ways when we're working well that we do that.
That's great. Yeah.
Some things I try to hit. A thing I did last week was like I journaled. I wrote down like all the things I was anxious about, what my like worst fear about them was, what I was doing about it, and what I could do about it.
Interesting.
So like for my body, it's like, what's my worst fear? That I'm going to die suddenly of an aggressive cancer that I didn't know about. Like, what am I doing about it? Trying to control it by, like, Googling until I find the exact answer of what I have and that it's okay. Like, is that working? No. What can I do? You know, make an appointment. Meditate. Like, yoga. Take a walk. Get myself away from, like, my phone and my sedentary lifestyle.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
So I recommend that. Took me 20 minutes, and it helped for about 2 hours.
Cool.
It was worth it for me.
That 20 minutes to 2 hours. That's a great time to happiness ratio.
Yeah.
What were the? What did you say the steps were again? I mean, people could just rewind, but.
I wrote down what was making me anxious. What my like worst fear about it was, like, what was the thing? Cause I, with me, when I'm anxious, it's just there. And I'm not really thinking about what's scaring me. I'm just scared. It's like fight or flight a little bit.
Right.
And so I was like, what's the worst thing that I'm scared of? Death right now. And then, what am I doing about it? And what can I be doing about it?
That's awesome. Very cool. Yeah. That sounds like a smart, tool.
And it helped a lot with, you know, I think a lot of people's struggle, or I'll speak for mine right now, is this feeling of like anger, fear, and powerlessness over, you know, the government response, like a lot of Americans' response to the Black Lives Matter movement, and our own personal response and how we can do our best with that. Mm-hmm. And so writing about that is helpful too, of like not just being paralyzed in news and scrolling and reading, but beyond that, what can I do today?
Right. Like, right.
To feel involved and productive. What have I been doing? Reading articles. Is that enough? What can I do? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That paralysis can be really painful because you're just sitting in like a painful feeling and you don't know how to get out of it. So you have to like take an action or move or go outside or like literally change the situation a little bit.
Yeah.
I've been having the same thing. I felt very... Another thing that I've been confronting with all this week is, you know, all the sadness and pain that you can just feel in the collective, you know, just been taking on a lot of that. But then also there's like these waves of shame of like being a white person who has definitely been complicit a little bit and not a little bit, a lot. I mean, if you're a white person in America, you're part of the system that we're all talking about trying to change. So it's been an interesting and hard thing to deal with all those things and like, what is my place in this and how can I change that? And I don't have a lot of answers yet. It's just been a lot of like looking inward and being like, fuck, what do I do and what don't I do that I could be doing? You know, it's sort of what you're talking about with your anxiety. It's the same with, I have anxiety about that, about like, you know, wanting to change it all, but I know that I can't do it all. tomorrow, but I also know that it's not just so big that I can't do anything, you know? So what's the, what is my role in it and what can I do about it? I like those, that plan you laid out.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm with you on that shame, and it's an interesting thing to have to sit with. And the thing I was thinking about is, I think there's like a million reasons in the past you could scroll through so many news stories like flash through my mind that people tweet about and you just don't hear a lot about, of like the complete like disparity in deaths of pregnant Black women whose like doctors don't trust or listen to them, like news like that. Or of course, like the videos you see of police brutality, and you scroll through it and it's so painful that it's really hard to engage with. And I think part of my shame was like my inability to, or privilege, and inability to engage with that for my own comfort. Like it hurt so much to have to look at stories like that, that it was easier to be like, well, I know this is going on. There's nothing I can do about it. What's reading about it going to do for me other than make me sadder? And it's like, well, maybe I need to keep making myself sadder so I can get angrier, so I can involve myself. And I don't, that's the thing that I've been sitting with.
Yeah, does it not exist because I'm not looking at it? But also because I'm not looking at it, it doesn't solve the problem. So it's like, what is the balance of what you actually try to do there? It's like, how can you take enough that it you can let it affect you and turn it into action? You know, that feels like the only way to start actually doing something is be productive, take a stance and find something to do that helps. Or, you know, who do you work with? Who works for you? Who are your friends? Like, if it's all white people, how can you not think you're part of the problem? You know what I mean? Like, if you don't make space or make an effort or see outside of that, then, you know, that ignorance is really painful and kills people, you know, is what we're talking about. It's really hard to take in all this stuff that, we've just sort of been ignoring for a while, you know, or at least will, like you're saying, just, oh, it's too painful to engage with. I know it's there, but I can't look at it every day, you know, and it's just keep kicking the can down the road. And it's pretty cool that we can't do that right now.
Yeah.
It's been really amazing to see all the protesting and everybody using their voice. And it feels like we're in a really cool time where people that did not have a voice to be heard in the way that it is right now are finally being heard. And I think it's a really cool sign of progress. And I hope that we can keep pushing through and keep encouraging that sort of progress and change those systems.
Yeah, I think my need is to find hope in every situation. Otherwise, I'll crawl into a cave. Right. And I think, like you said, that is the hope of right now, is that people are speaking up. People who have felt like they have been unheard are being heard, and people that are hearing them are supporting them in a way that is gives me hope.
Yeah, like regardless of what happens next, it has to happen after this whole nationwide protest. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know what will happen, but we know that it will be the product of this really huge, momentous thing.
Right.
So that to me gives me hope. Not that we're done at all, but that like the first step has been like firmly planted, you know? And I think that's hopeful and awesome.
What was your experience going to some of the protests?
I went to two protests this week. I went on Saturday and Sunday, maybe, or Friday and Sunday. And they were both awesome. I went in LA, we marched down Sunset Boulevard for like a couple miles on Saturday. And then on Sunday went to a huge one that was all, you know, led by Black Lives Matter and YG, who sings that song, Fuck Donald Trump. And I was really hoping to hear that and party at the protest just with that song. I know protests are not a party. But that one was huge. They're saying that there was between like 20 and 50,000 people at the one on Sunday, which it was either 20 or two and a half times that. Who knows? but it was gigantic and definitely the biggest kind of thing like that I've ever been a part of. You know, it definitely felt like I've been to like big games at stadiums that were like 50,000 people. And it did feel about like that. Like when you're walking into the stadium, like the streets were just packed, you know, like both lanes on the street. And it was awesome, really awesome being out there with everybody speaking their mind and sharing stories. And you just feel it in a way on the ground that you don't from watching the news or Twitter or whatever. Like you can really feel people's, you know, love and conviction for this thing. I mean, this is a thing that has to change, you know, and it's really cool to be a part of it. It's also a little bit scary because it's going on and people are close, and mostly everybody was wearing masks and being safe and very like good about not touching in personal space. But, you know, it just is really crowded. But the cool thing was there was lots of people walking around with just like free food and granola bars and water and hand sanitizer, just so that like people didn't have to stop protesting, you know, like cars would come down with like 20 pizzas in their back and open it up and just give out pizza to people. And like, it was just really cool to see a community of so many different people all coming together to support this cause. And I thought it was really, really awesome. And it gave me, yeah, it just gave me more hope. I was feeling so down. And also, you know, this is not what it's about, but personally, just like, I'm not doing enough or I'm disconnected or whatever. So going to the marches made me feel a lot more sure-footed and hopeful about this stuff, I guess.
I think, well, first of all, I think that's super cool. And I'm a little envious. I'm still like so scared of coronavirus that I haven't been able to go out, but I haven't chosen to. But I am very envious of that feeling in the community of it.
Yeah.
I think like the images have been like super moving of like the Golden Gate Bridge was packed the other night, those pictures of Philadelphia, like all over the world. And I think there is an element of it. I think a lot of the hopelessness forever, but especially of the past few years, has been that the government and whatever powers that be are successful at making you think that you are the only one or you are part of a small group and the actual belief system is more conservative or whatever. And seeing how much that is not true.
Worldwide.
And how, like,
Paris, yeah. New Zealand, Germany. Like, Germany is like, hey, we did this. We apologize for our Nazi roots. We know how to do this and we're supporting you in doing it. Like, there's no clearer yes to me. You know what I mean? That like they have come back from Nazi Germany and changed. A lot of people say it's like the best country to live in now. And it's like, yeah, they're protesting on our behalf. I guess we're the protesters are in the right and the anti-protesters are in the wrong. And it's just that easy.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So I think that has been like very cool and moving. And I think that is tough for me as far as like how other people work is you see all these videos of people, black people like speaking out and like there's like and there's all types of it. There's like people at protests arguing with each other or people at protests just speaking or people talking like on Instagram. And there is such a deep visceral like pain there that is so heartbreaking. And I compare it to like when you see angry white people, like I just watch them next to each other and that anger is not a pain. It's a power anger. It is like, I'm scared I'm losing power and I'm being angry about it. And the fact that you can't like watch both types of those things and feel viscerally that pain and how those angers are different is really mind-boggling to me. Even if you have a belief system that doesn't agree with what these people are saying, how could you not be like moved by their pain and want to listen and be like, this is happening for a reason. They're not just,
this is probably the truest thing I've ever seen. You know what I mean? Like when you hear these people speak and they're like so impassioned and speaking from that pain and anger, like I've just never seen a more true emotion than that. You know what I mean? There's nothing put on. It is like, it's just so, yeah, I agree. I can't watch that stuff and not cry or not like start almost shaking. Like it's just fucking devastating. And then you watch dorky white supremacists and they're just like, but I don't want to. Like it's like childlike. It's like, it's not with a knowledge of anything real, you know, it's like frustration, which is not good enough.
Yeah. It's so childish seeming. It's so,
so the beginning of my week was really hard because I just didn't know what to do. This is such a huge fucking, issue and problem in America that runs so deep. And I want to be as involved in as possible with like setting things right or being a positive part for change, you know? And in the beginning of the week, I was having a really hard time feeling like I was doing any of that. And I was just sort of thinking about myself more and like my place in it. And definitely have to admit, like, it was selfishness a little bit to be like, am I that way? I'm not. And you just got to look at it and go, well, you are a part of this system and what you do tomorrow is what matters. You know what I mean? Like, you got to apologize for the ways that you've been complicit and everything. But it's, what's most important is that you start to take action to make change. I think that's what I'm hearing and internalizing about it.
I think a way that I'm thinking about that with myself and changing myself is like really acknowledging the power that the white, like, middle class has, in big and small systems, like in the world of comedy. Like, we're in the middle class, not like financially, but like, we're not, you know, the most famous people at UCB, but we have like gotten to where we are. We're respected at it and people look up to us. And that's a really powerful position that I think I have neglected. I've benefited to get to that position. And now I'm just like comfortably holding it. And I think it's like, that's a place in my own life that I can directly involve myself more. And, like, listen and be active in ways that I'm not sure what they are yet, but I know that when I feel powerlessness about, like, what am I going to do about Washington, D.C., I'm trying to think about it in these contexts a little more and encourage people that listen to our podcast to do the same of, like, what is it at your work where you've seen something and you're like, well, it doesn't directly affect me and it would be a lot of work for me to fix it, so I'm just going to sit this one out. Like, where are those small places where you can speak up or be active?
Right. Yeah. It's important to not just like react, but to like think and actually plan some of that stuff, I think.
Yeah.
But it's tough. It's tough. You got to like get educated on how to do it first. You can't just start taking wild swings, you know?
Yeah. That's another thing that's been really hard for me is, a lot of people are like, there's a lot of different causes right now, including like defund the police. And I wanted to support that and tweet about it, but I don't want to just broadly yell defund the police without like doing the work. And that's part of it for me is like, I have to like read what this means and what the facts are about it and how to talk about it. So I'm not just yelling in an uneducated way with nothing to back it up.
Yeah, I kind of sometimes think that, like, that can, like, take away from the credibility of it, of, like, the more loud idiots who don't know what they're talking about yelling at it, it distracts from the few people who really do know what they're talking about. And it's like, I want to make larger the numbers of people who really do know what they're talking about and can, like, affect change with it.
Right.
Because I've definitely been flippant in other areas of my life, and people are just like, okay, whatever. Like, if you're too flippant about everything, you're just flippant about everything. You're like Boy Who Cried Wolf, sort of, you know? And then people are like, well, I don't listen to you anymore. You have now lost the privilege of me listening to you because you just say new shit every day, you know? It's like, you gotta, like, mean the things that you say and do them, you know? So I think it's good you're taking time to learn and know what you want to say before you got to say it. But also, fuck, how do we hurry up? Because it was, I mean, this week has just changed so much. Like, it's been 14 days now, or 14 I saw on the news yesterday. So 2 weeks. And in that...
Since, like, the protests started?
I think, like, since George Floyd was killed, and yes, since the protests have started. Because they were pretty immediate. And in that first weekend, it still is so scary, but in that first weekend, it was just like, what is this? You know, like... Is what's going to come of this? Is this going to be like a one weekend big fight thing? Is this going to be a long-term march? And in that first week, I was just so like, it uprooted and upended everything so hard and so fast that it was just the fear of like, what's the world going to be tomorrow, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like when you're seeing like cop cars on fire and you're just like, look, I don't know where this is going.
Well, exactly. In that first weekend, I mean, this is a protest about police brutality. And that first weekend, the police were so brutal, so brutal. Like if you're on Twitter or the internet or anything, which I'm sure everyone that listens to this is, you've seen it. I mean, the police, especially in LA, the LAPD were insane. Even last night, the Seattle PD is like going fucking nuts. And it's just like, this is a police police brutality protest and the police are doing tons of brutality. It's like, answer. That's the answer. We know the answer now. Like, it's unbelievable.
Part of me is like, thank you. Thanks for showing us. Like, this would have been a lot harder to convince people if you had showed up and let people protest peacefully. But like that you went on camera and like we're like, here, let's give you proof of exactly what you're protesting against.
Right. And it does seem like some of that has calmed nationwide. It felt like most cities were extremely brutal that first weekend because it was like, control it. And now it's just gotten so big that they realize they can't control it. You know, it's people peacefully protesting or not peacefully protesting for what they want and what they demand. And it's like, yeah, you just can't stop all of us. So I do feel like police brutality has gotten better over the week. And this has become like more sustainable and a longer term thing than I knew it would be in the first couple days. You know, the first couple days, it felt more like a war. And now it feels a little bit more like a conversation for change or a movement, if that makes sense. Maybe that's not a great way to look at it, but.
It definitely at least feels like visually, from what I'm seeing and what's happening, people are showing up for the same battle now. What was happening before is people were showing up to protest in some sort of like either peaceful or like physically destructive ways, which I'm not against necessarily, but they weren't showing up in riot gear and tanks with guns. And the enemy was. And it's like, hey, we're not fighting the same war here.
Right.
You're showing us pictures of like people throwing bottles at you. You have full riot gear. I don't know.
It's like, crazy that those pictures of like five things that were thrown at police. It's like, so the fuck what? Like, so what? This White Claw bounced off their like helmet that can take a bullet. They're shooting bullets. They're shooting like rubber bullets and tear gas. It's so fucked up. It's just bananas. Anyway.
Yeah. Nothing new in our opinion on that, but it is just shocking. Yeah. Not even shocking.
I think shocking is the right word. It's not surprising, but it is fucking shocking. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's just horrible.
What else are you up to on a day to day? What's
mostly just trying to stay sane. I try to get up every day and like, check the internet and any like big news, you know? And then after I've sort of gotten depressed from all the news that there is, I say, okay, let's go look for some petitions and places to donate and, you know, things I should be doing. I'm trying to like follow more Black accounts and just take in more Black voices and art and stuff like that. So far it's been a lot of just like clicking around on the internet. You know what I mean? A lot of it is just like being on the internet, watching CNN, being like, why are they talking about this? And then to stay peaceful a little bit, I try to just go outside every day and like get some sun, because being in my room feels like this is where so much of the like hard stuff has happened, where it's like I'm on my phone, I'm on my computer, I'm watching TV. Like I just got to get out of this space a little bit and I'll leave my phone inside and go sit in the sun for like half an hour to just like shock me out of it a little bit. So that feels good.
Yeah, it's been that type of stuff. Like we set up chairs in our front and so that we're like by the street and just like seeing people walk by and connecting with them and like offering some humanity is really helpful for me. or being offered humanity, even just like making eye contact with another person instead of a screen. Totally. Stuff like that just makes me feel a lot more able to handle everything mm-hmm. else.
Even like going for a little drive to see that like the rest of the world is still moving and everything like that. Like, it doesn't make me feel great that people are just on runs and not paying attention, but maybe that's their thing for the day that makes them feel good. So it is nice to just go for a little drive and be like, right, the protests and the cops aren't on every single street in America. You know, like there's still some places to go out in the world and feel okay, which is important right. to remember, I think.
Right.
Or at least, I mean, with and my privilege, you know, that is possible, but.
Right. Yeah, I think even like trying to have that mindset that is productive and forward moving, but still empathy and like mm-hmm. humanity, like even that thing of like trying to, when you see people out, not assuming right away that everybody's just ignoring everything, but maybe these people, if I'm not going to change their mm-hmm. minds, maybe it's helpful to just assume that they are also taking their mental health break totally. Of the day.
Totally. Yeah.
So for us, I think just so people can know what to expect as patrons.
Yeah.
We are looking to start doing some more improv episodes and get into that more. But we wanted to, since this Patreon is so much about us and talking about where we are and what we're up to, we felt like that was the right move mm-hmm. for this first episode back to just check in with each other and you all out there. And offer up, you know, the resources that we have emotionally and see if any of you have any that you'd like to share with us, anything you've found helpful, either for mental health or for being active in the Black Lives Matter right. movement. Let us know.
Yes, totally. And also, I want to get back to doing some comedy because it makes me feel good and regular, like who I am. When I'm not doing any comedy, yeah. it just feels, I feel far from myself. So I do want to get back to that, but also I didn't really have it last week, and I don't really have it today. So hopefully in the future, we'll be able to do it. Something that has made me feel a lot better. In the beginning of this, I started to feel very like, woe is me, and I'm a little embarrassed about it, of just like how hard everything is and how emotionally difficult it is. But I think like the one thing that has made me feel better is like taking action and doing something about it. You know, every time I like sign petitions and donate, and especially marching, I was like, okay, like I know that I am caring about this and trying to make a difference on this. And like proving that to myself through a little bit of work really helped, you know, rather than just like being on the right side and posting a picture, which like does not make me feel better. It makes me feel like inactive and dumb. But actually doing something and actually like having that feeling of like, this hurts, this sucks, I don't want this, I'm going to do something about it. That action, putting action to those feelings has really made me feel better each time, you know? So when I am sitting around and stressed and wallowing or whatever, the thing that makes me feel better is just literally taking action. Go find a place to donate, mm-hmm. you know, connect with a friend, do something that feels like you are taking part in this rather than burying your head in the sand. That's what's made mm-hmm. me feel better.
I think that for anybody who missed the podcast and needed some comedy or some escapism or whatever you want to do, sometimes escapism can feel like a way to bury your head in the sand. One thing I would recommend is a book called The Sellout by Paul Beatty, which is one of my favorite books. And it's a comedy. It's like the only book that's made me laugh out loud. And it's about race. And I kind of think about it a lot because it's one thing that I've noticed when I see like white people talking and when I'm talking is there's kind of like a constant tiptoeing around making sure you say the perfect mm-hmm. thing all the time. And I think what I like about that book is that from the point of view of and written by a black man, but the experience of reading the book is someone saying like, here is how I feel right now, very passionately. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answers, but this is what I feel and this is my experience. This is what I think is funny about it and whatever. And I think there is like a oneness with the self and an awareness of the things you were saying about the ability to like change in the future and be okay with mm-hmm. that. To be comfortable saying how you're feeling mm-hmm. now, and what you think and what you're experiencing in a way that is also sensitive to be told like, oh, you know what? The way you worded that is a little bit like offensive or othering or whatever.
And it's okay to be like, oh, that embarrasses me and I'm going to try to do better rather than like, nuh-uh, which is like basically saying I choose to never learn from this.
You know? Yeah. And it's the full, I mean, the big thing of like intent versus impact of just be yourself, make an impact on the world. Mm-hmm. In a way that you think is important, but to hear people who tell you what your impact is, whether it's positive or negative for them. And that book is insanely funny. So if you're missing our comedy podcast right now, that's what I would recommend reading if you are.
And what's it called again?
Or if there's, it's The Sellout by Paul Beatty. I want to make sure it's Paul Beatty. I haven't, should have done my research on that because I read it a couple of years ago, but I think
but it is The Sellout.
Yes, The Sellout. Yeah, Paul Beatty.
Well, this was nice, Dan. I'm glad we got to talk about it and talk to our listeners and patrons again a little bit more. Hopefully next time we can actually take a crack at some comedy. And hopefully this will prime our listeners for that. Definitely feels like it would have been weird to just go right back into goofs about Banana Man or whatever.
Yeah, how is Banana Man? Now that we bring it up.
Yeah, how is Banana Man? Maybe we'll do one scene. Maybe we'll do one scene. Well, that's it for me. Everybody stay calm and stay active, and please try to get involved and support the Black Lives Matter movement. That's what I would say.
Yes, sir. I full-throatedly agree with that statement. And thank you for supporting us, everyone, and for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dog, you are the man now. Dog, you are the man now. Dog.